Chariots of Fire. All right. That's great. I said Chariots of Fire. Woohoo. Wow. Can we actually start with prayer? This is so awesome. God, we're so thankful. Holy Spirit, God, you came to us 2,000 years ago, Father. Let us not be one to welcome you, but Father, appreciate you and thank you for less 2,000 years of presence with us and manifesting yourself this service, Lord God. Whew. Wow. Let there be a breakthrough. Let there be exchange of things. Lord, we'll walk away with gift from you, Lord, renewed, transformed on this week of Pentecost, Lord. As the fire touched, Lord, this man and woman in the upper room, Lord, let this be the place, Lord. We'll walk out of this place knowing, Father, that we have been with you and walking away with Paracletos, one who walks with us, Lord. The Comforter who comforts and counsels us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Amen. Wow. Can you tell your neighbor, you will be blessed today? Can you do that? Whew. You will be blessed today because Holy Spirit God is with us. There was this American Indian, Cherokee Indian old man sitting with his grandchild. You know, imagine warm fire going, campfire, and this old man says to grandchild, son, there's a two wolves inside you fighting constantly. There is a good wolf that always think best of the others and provide and help. Love, shalom, you know. But there's always bad wolf that always want to fight and bite and think the worst and gossiping and try to destroy. And all constantly battling inside you, son. And the little child thought for a while, said, Grandpa, which wolf will win? And of course, you know the story. The grandpa says, well, the one that you feed will win. Is this the first time that you heard this story? No, right? Yes, I hope not. I hope you read more if this is the first time that you heard this story. It's in the books. You should have read it in your junior high or high school, but read more American Indian literature. But when this story was told, I thought, wow. Well, how does it connect with today's message? I'm going to read 2 Kings 2, 9 through 11. This is word of the Lord from New King James Version. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, I shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Wow, beautiful imagery. When you read a story, try to imagine and see it in a picture form, because the English language is very functional and it tries to make you understand. It does not conjure up imagery. Whereas the Chinese character and other languages, they do. It's a pictorial language. So we really have to force ourselves as we read this in English, go, wow, I try to imagine. What happened last time I share here about Elijah, Elijah was introduced confronting King Ahab, right? And praying for drought. And we are doing the whole Elijah series. And we're wrapping up today, finally, on Pentecost Sunday and chariots of fire. Somehow there's a link. And last time I talked about how at the altar, the sacrifice has to be present for fire from heaven to come and touch down. And it was wonderful time of really insightful. And afterwards, Pastor Barry walked on stage. Wow, this was very prophetic. I don't know if you remember, but I remember so clearly because I thought, wow. Pastor Barry came up and said, our God is a consuming fire. Do you remember that? Wow. Every time Pastor Barry says something, it's very, very good. And I thought, and the revelation, actually, I wrote the whole entire message at the time when Pastor Barry said, our God is a consuming fire. The revelation came, and I said, wow, that's the message I need to share. Next time I'm a catalyst, next time I talk about chariots of fire. Because a lot of times we focus on the things that we see, the fire, chariots of fire, chariots of horses of fire, and it's, wow, fantastic, right? And can you imagine, see in the eyes of Elisha, who's witnessing this, is an eyewitness, he just said that you'll be double portion. If you actually see me go, there'll be double portion. Elisha, oh my God, mine will be double chariot, double portion. But that's not how you should understand that, right? That's not what he's saying. What is he saying here? What is this double portion? And what is this talking about, this incredible stuff? Our God is a consuming fire. It's not good because Pastor Barry said it, because it's word of God. Hebrews 12:29, for our God is consuming fire. But how do you know that? How do you know that? See, for longest time, for thousands of years actually, we were taught to know by understanding. Let me rephrase that question. Don't try to understand today's message by knowing, but try to understand by feeling. Wow, so silent. Okay, so let me throw out some Hebrew words to you so that you could talk among yourselves. The Hebrew words is mata hoshev, and this is the only thing that I use in my philosophy class at Cambodia, Phnom Penh, Royal University, metaphysics, and teaching on nothingness, what is nothing. And the first word I told my students, mata hoshev. And he said, sir, what is that? Well, the answer is in the question. What do you think mata hoshev means in Hebrew? And that's the only word, actually, the Hebrew teachers will tell their children from kindergarten up. Mata hoshev. So I'll give you 5 seconds. Think about it. What do you think that means? The answer is in the question. And tell answer to your neighbor right now. What do you think that means? Mata hoshev. Go ahead. What do you think that means? I know you could not have read it, so try to imagine. What do you think? The answer is, what do you think? In Hebrew. That's why I said answer is in the question. What do you think it means? What do you think in Hebrew? And that's what kindergarten teacher in Jewish, if you go to Israel, walk into kindergarten, and little boy will say, teacher, this is a picture of rabbit. And he doesn't say, you're right. No, you always say, next student, mata hoshev. What do you think? Oh, it's a white rabbit. Oh, that's good. What do you think, mata hoshev? Oh, it's a big white rabbit. So they try to challenge students to think for themselves and come up with their opinion. And that's a wonderful way of educate, right? That's wonderful. You know, we're taking a walk with my last child. She's 33. My Lord, she's old. But she's still cute. I was walking with my cute 33-year-old girl, and she just finished her master level class, and she just took the final. And so I said, oh, how'd you do? She said, not well, but that's okay. You told me that school's not that important. He said, you're right. But what did I tell you? So I had three children now, 38, 35, 33. I would have them line up and I would say, this is our family mantra. School's not that important, sir. Good. What is important? Education is. Wow, so profound, right? Man, we should write a book on that. School's not that important. Education is. So what you learn from school, the outer shell's not, it's Harvard, doesn't matter. You know, whatever you learn, the education that you get from the shell, it's what you take away from that location. So education is more important. So here, when we talk about knowing, how do you understand? Don't try to understand my message. They just feel. My message is more like abstract art today. It's like, have you been to abstract art museum? Like, huh? It's like, what are they trying to say? I don't understand. Don't try to understand by knowing. Just feel. What do you feel from that? I remember walking into the oldest museum was designated for modern art. The oldest modern art museum actually is in Oxford. And I remember walking in there, wow, the direction said, start from the basement. This world class, all the modern artists that throughout history, they brought their art pieces. That it starts from the basement, and I went to basement. And it was dark, and there was a rows and rows of bathtub. Some antique, some new, and like, what the heck? What does that mean? I don't understand it. Why do we have the rows and rows of different kind of bathtubs, right? And as you enter, there's only other way. Exit is way at the corner, lights on, exit sign. I said, I need to get out of this place. And as I was walking out, and right next to the light was the grandfather clock. You know, the one that looks like Ben, you know, the Big Ben, you know, standing wooden. I'm like, and then as I exit, I realized, wow, I got it. The feeling I had was the weight of life. I mean, bathtub is probably the only thing that after you became an adult, that naked you are, but you are not ashamed to be in. Imagine that, though. There are literally tens of thousands of people, millions of baths, and then there's a clock that sets the limit, time, and we walk into the light. See, that's how I felt. I'm not saying that it's authorized. That's how you should feel. See, that's what modern art does, abstract art does. They try not to convince you. They just want you to feel and understand. I felt the weight of life, and I walked away. Wow, that's pretty cool. It's not right answer that they're looking for. They want you to feel the subjective truth. Because we're taught that life evolves around the objective truth. But objective truth has no power until it becomes yours. See, I read so many books on how to lose weight. And I know all the objective truth about how I need to eat less and exercise. Woo, I know, I understand it. But I'm still fat. Because that objective truth has not become my truth. I don't live by that. I just know. But a lot of times we think knowing here is doing. Right? That's why we have so many spiritual people doing jack for the Lord. Because they think you are so spiritual. Oh, I know a lot of stuff. But are you doing it? Are you living it? Here we see Elijah. I mean, Elijah is as real as it gets. I mean, when you read Elijah, I mean, we went through the whole series. He's like, at one time, he's like a great, great, powerful spiritual leader, killing the other prophets. And then he runs. He goes through depression. He's so afraid, running away from the... I mean, he's just a real guy. Real guy. And after reading and understanding, wow. So how do we then, Lord, become real? How do I become... Because the relationship between Elisha and Elijah says, well, you're asking hard stuff. You want double portion of whatever I've done? And Elijah, after living a whole life pursuing Yahweh, God, he has become real. He has become authentic. He understands the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, our consuming God, God the fire, right? Same. Our God is same. God the creator is same. The Hebrew writer talks about same God. Elijah met same God. This God, the creator, is our consuming fire, and he's been walking with this fire, and he's taken in fire, and Elisha's eyes open and said, wow, he's now going where God is. Never changes, just change of location, but his presence of God was felt. How do we live like that? Right? How do we live a whole life that we become real? We become authentic, that we are not going to talk about why, you know, there's uncomfortableness. And there are people, when you are found and you know who you are, then there is the shalom that surpasses all understanding. There's not uneasiness about who you are, because you walk in all the skin and all the content, everything's a full package. You walk into a place and then you could represent God. Why? Because Shekinah glory is upon you. We are the what? Carriers of the Holy Spirit God who came 2,000 years ago. Amen? We are the sanctuary. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit God. So there's got to be something. When fire happens, the light happens. Are you the light in the room or the darkness? Are you the cause of darkness or are you cause of the light? Are you the cause of shalom that surpasses understanding? Or do you bring dissension and fight? And which wolf are you feeding? Which wolf are you feeding in your life? Is it authentic self, real self, or fake self? You know, I can't wait until I turn old. Someday I'm going to turn old. And someday I'm going to sit across my grandchild and I'm going to tell them a story. Son, there are two blocks in your life. The wolves are too common, you know, because you guys know and everybody knows. And it'll be like, you want to be cool grandpa, like, oh, he said something new. Son, there are two massive marble blocks in your life. One is your real self, and the other block is your fake self. Wow. And my grandchild said, Grandpa, what does that mean? I don't understand. It's not simple as the wolf story, Grandpa. Well, whatever spend your life chiseling away, that's what you're going to become. In this block, there is a I'm sorry, did I say two? There's only one block. One block of marble. And in it, there is a real self and fake self mixed up. And the moment you spend your entire life chipping away the fake self, you're going to end up with who you really are, whom God has made you to be. I said something so profound, there's no response. I don't know what to do. There's got to be either ooh or wow or something. Think about all the time that you impose the fake self on you by chiseling away the real self. Because you saw somebody wearing something and it doesn't even fit you. My God, right? Certain clothing you shouldn't wear because your body shape. You know what I mean? I'm not going to trash talk on, you know, so I got into big trouble one time and because I trash talk about wearing miniskirt. And anyways, so if there's a certain body shape that we have, a lot of us are Asian, a certain Asian body shape, we shouldn't wear those kind of clothes that, you know, 6'3", long legs kind of fashion. When you wear it, we look very weird, you know, it's like, but we try to fashion ourselves. And buy stuff that you don't really need because someone has it and put it in Facebook or Instagram and with money you don't even have to impress people you don't even like. Because you constantly owe, right? And you constantly think like, how come they have it better? They live in better house. They seems like their kids are smarter and they go to better school and wow, their even spouses are cuter and oh my goodness, they always go better vacation and FOMO, fear of missing out. I'm missing out on life here. You know what the rate of right now depression setting on America today after post-COVID-19 is unbelievable. People are going through massive depression because they're constantly comparing themselves. They got so used to the internet world now, right? It used to be an option. Now it's reality. They really believe that. That's more important reality to them. What do we do? What do we do, and how do we deal with the being a real self and not fake self, right? So I wrote a book called Real Self, published last week. It's title of the book is called Real Self, How to Live as a Missionary in Los Angeles Post-COVID-19, Robert O. I think I sold 2 copies so far in my Amazon, so. This is the 3rd copy that I have. But in this book, I talk about this incredible group. 1964, they began. Wow, 1964 in London. I was 3 years old in Korea. 3-year-old Korean boy, probably never got to this, heard this music. But 1964 in London, the group called The Who. Come on, people, old people, you know what I'm talking about. The Who. The Who. They wrote a song called Who Are You? Who, who? Who, who? You know that song? Who are you? Who, who? Who, who? And the guy said, tell me who you are. Who are you? Who, who? I really want to know. Who are you? Who? You don't know that song? I'm the only one? The world famous London, UK rock band called The Who. They asked the fundamental questions in life. Who are you? Who, who? Who, who? See, until you are discovered and know yourself, you cannot really be authentic. But who are you cannot be found, like lost I found. No, it's got to be carved out. It's got to be go through some struggles and pain and suffering. And as I was thinking about, wow, we already learned about how Elijah found himself through depression, running away, and life issues that we could identify. That's how I'm gonna respond when someone's gonna kill me. The king's wife wants to, queen wants to kill me. I'm gonna run after killing 800 false prophets. Wow. And we have this up and down. And as I was studying Genesis this week, I'm like, wow. Joseph finally meets his brothers. And Joseph said, it is I, Joseph. And guess what happened? All the brothers were, Bible says, terrified. Why? Because he's the very person that they tried to kill 22 years ago. That's the very person they sold as a slave, right? And they assumed that he was dead. But Joseph went through a life cycle of discovering himself. We talk about post-traumatic syndrome as if it's all the trauma's terrible thing. No, there is a flip side of that is this post-traumatic growth. Every trauma, we could walk out of that better, stronger, shinier, right? And we don't talk about that here. If you impose post-traumatic syndrome as the ground rule in Joseph's life, he should have been ruined. He shouldn't become a drug addict, become a street person, and complain, like, my brother tried to kill me, man. You don't understand. Dude, if you're in my shoes, you wouldn't be judging me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay. I understand. And I don't knock it. Yes, we go through post-traumatic syndrome, and it's real. I'm dealing with the entire nation of Cambodia who went through post-traumatic syndrome. So I'm not knocking that. I'm simply saying the spin-off of that. The other option is that you come out stronger, braver, bold, encountering God. Joseph, after 22 years and looking back, if that did not happen, I would not be here today. If that did not happen, our family would be doomed and die because famine would come. God's will be done whether you are sold as a slave or not. God's plan will be done. And he realized God, you're using me according to your plan. And the Shekinah glory manifests in this chronological time. The Kairos moment has come. You sent me 22 years ago, hated by my brothers, sold as a slave. Here I am. I'm father to Pharaoh. I'm the ruler of Egypt. And I now forgive you, brothers. This is Joseph whom you sold. And brothers were terrified because they live entire life on fake self. Joseph found himself. He carved out what wasn't real. The multicolored coat that he thought, like, I'm the favorite one, brothers. Took away the earthly father's love. Yeah, it means something, but only heavenly father means something. And he's chipping away those false self. I'm smart. I'm spiritual. I could interpret dreams. Only God can interpret. And when he says that, here I am, the Bible says, now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourself for selling me here, because it was to save lives. Wow. The word distressed means to fabricate and fashion. It's written in imperfect second person, masculine plural. What it means is that it was action not imposed on you. It was done by yourself. You don't get distressed because somehow, I got distressed. Oh, I received the distress now. I'm distressed because I got it. Someone did it on me. No, distress, you fashion it. You fabricate it on your own. The world could go through hell, but you could be like, woo-hoo, love you, Jesus, man. You're not distressed. Why? Because you are in a different frame of reference. The word distress is self-imposed. You fabricate, you fashion it, and you make it. Right? And then he said, and then Joseph said, and do not get what? Angry with yourself. Angry. The word in Hebrew actually literally means jealousy. I said, how does that work, Lord? Why would that angry, right? Angry. And why is it the root meaning is jealousy? Did you know that when many, many years later, the book of Acts is written in 7-9, and these Christians talk about our patriarch, our forefathers, our ancestors, talking about the brothers, because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph. Did you know that they did not hate Joseph? Matter of fact, they liked him. But it was jealousy. Angry with Joseph. Jealousy with Joseph. What is at the foundation of jealousy? Anger toward God. God, why did you make me? God, I should have been 6'2" for my weight. Why is it that I look at food and I get fat? And then you look at somebody eat like a pig and they're slim and like, what's up with that? I mean, we had an MC guy talk about surfing experience and about double dipping. That's all I do all day long, double dipping into the ocean because I cannot surf, ride the waves. I'm like, what's up? Right? And Aloha Spirit Day, bro. I want to go Hawaii, live there. And God says, no, Cambodia. Why? Who's going to take care of these poor surfers in Hawaii? I'm willing to give my life to those poor surfers, Lord Jesus, please. I'm volunteering, Lord. Aloha. Right? Competing, comparing, not liking the self that God has made, and chipping away the real self. When you become inclusive and looking inside your ego, then you begin to destroy the real self. And you become so fake. When you turn old, midlife crisis, and beyond, and like, I don't like myself. I don't like my spouse. I don't like my children. How come they're not like this? And the fake self begin to dictate your life, your emotion, your feeling, your understanding of life. Why do you think so many young people kill themselves today? It grieves me. Because the enemy has turned it inward and said, that is, you are lousy. You're no good. Look at your accomplishment. What have you done? And when I look at God gave us so much. I look at this room and wow, this room full of people that could literally change the world when we become who we are, whom God has called us to, and make difference. But not just knowing, but doing something for the Lord. Refuse to do nothing daily. Remember? Do something daily for the kingdom of God. Influence somebody in Jesus' name and said, hey, love you, brother. You know, touch somebody. Pray for somebody. Stand strong in this doing faith. It will determine why you are. Why do you exist? Not simply in doing stuff that, but you become you. You become that person. Elijah was taken up. And I said, well, what about me, Lord? What about me? Where is my chariot? No. Chariot and Elijah, first and last, that's it. The burning bush with Moses, that's it. There's no bushes for you, no chariots for you. You are on your own. Because the Shekinah glory is with you. Either that Shekinah glory consume you, or you become a finer gold. If you're full of made of wood and all this burning stuff, you'll burn and disappear. But when you are made of gold, silver, the fire comes and you make you authentic. You become real. Then you said, and then people will say, wow, look at that. The glory of God shines through that person's life. Look at that. Look at that sister. Look at him. You know, going through the same cancer, same difficulties, and yet they shine. Going through the same COVID, they shine and bright in darkness. That's the difference we made because Jesus Christ is real. He's the one whom we met, whom we are willing to die for, whom we said, Lord, if you say, take up my cross daily and follow you, Lord, yes, I am willing. I will do that, die to myself daily. And I think there's got to be this great exchange of prayer. And wow, you know, I'm so tempted to bring my wife here, but she said already, if never bring me into the front again. This morning, and so I cannot force that. The Lord spoke to me, but the other Lord says no, so. But if you're willing, Lord, I mean, honey, you could come and do a prayer of exchange, but why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Because I want God to radically exchange those stuff in you. There's a huge block in your life. Are you chiseling away the real self or the fake self? Whatever God said in the scripture, it is written, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. As God said to Jesus, my son, my daughter, my child, I love you. I recognize you. For you, I'll die on the cross for you. But Lord, we've been hearing the enemy too long and convinced by that enemy. And we limit ourselves, like this is the only thing we're going to do. This is how much I'm going to commit. You give God boundaries. You box God. God cannot be bound. God can do so incredibly much more. And you will walk into any situation, circumstance, just loving yourself because you are whole. You are complete. You don't compete. You don't compare. You're not jealousy over the people. You're not angry at God for making you who you are. And said, Lord, I don't need Elijah's chariot. That's his. I don't need burning bush by Moses. But Lord, you are doing this in my life, Lord. And I'm eternally thankful. God, after all these turmoils and after this trauma and all these difficulties in life, Lord, I want to be the one who will be an example of post-traumatic growth, not syndrome. I want to testify that, yes, The fire came, storm came, the wind blew. But look. Look. So Holy Spirit, God, thank you for coming to us 2,000 years ago and welcoming us into this Christian life that we live. Some of us long time. Some of us just starting. And some of us, when we hear about these spiritual activities and like praying tongue and all that prophecy, it's kind of foreign to you because you don't understand it. And we're so conditioned and told by the world that you must understand in order to know. And that is such a lie. You could just feel God's presence and know that God is real and understand His will. We sometimes even box God in Word of God. God is so much bigger than just Word of God. We box God in nature and say, isn't nature great? Nature is God. No, nature isn't God. God is so much bigger than nature. Isn't God great? God is love. Don't box God as God is love. No, when love becomes God, becomes devil. God is beyond, above nature, love. All the essence that you could throw on Him, He's beyond that. So we say, God, we don't understand it, but we know You are here. And we want to become that authentic self as Elijah did and Elisha later did, understanding. Holy Spirit, God, come. Would you put your hands in your heart right now? Both hands to your heart. Just want to do a simple inner healing prayer because I just want us to be set free from this false expectation, the heart that failed because you are looking at the worthless things in life, the imagery and the thoughts and the words and the mantra that you've been chanting in your through your heart has become you and it's darkened. Lord, Holy Spirit, God, would you come? Remove those thoughts. Remove those false self. Remove those false expectations on ourselves and on our spouse and our children and our society and this should be done this way. Whoo, God, you don't owe us anything. So release the blood of Jesus to cleanse our heart, Lord. God, if it's too broken, would you give us a brand new heart that we exchange darkness go. Light of Jesus come. Chaos, gossiping, negative spirit go. Shalom, gentleness, self-control come. Feel it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you put both hands to your head now? Let's renew our minds. Don't expect to hear from God when you're constantly hearing the world. Your head is full of the secular stuff, secular words, secular music, secular talk show and secular news and, oh, CNN, continuous negative news constantly. So how can God penetrate? But Lord, would you renew our mind? We offer our bodies as living sacrifice, Lord. At the altar, fire come and consume. God, you are the consuming fire. Burn those dross, negative things, useless things. Burn those things, Lord God. The sin of comparison, competition, unsatisfaction, grumbling against you, angry at you for making us who we are. God, we repent of that. Holy Spirit, God, renew our mind. We are loved by you. You love us so much. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us and making us who we are and giving each a calling, things to do that we could do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't we all stand and lift our hands unto the Lord as we get ready for the final praise? Why don't we all stand out of your seat? Let's just raise our hands. And then Pastor Barry, if you don't mind, would you come and bless your congregation, just as the head shepherd of this congregation? I want you to receive on this Pentecost Sunday. I want you to hear I want you to be renewed. Let's walk out of this place and say, God, we're so thankful. We're so grateful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just be in prayer mode, and Pastor Barry will just conclude us.
Okay, hear and receive with your soul and spirit the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord says, David speaking, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. I just want you to say to the Lord, your Father who loves you, thank you for making me fearfully and wonderfully made. And my soul knows it well. Can you just say that to your Father right now? Can you make that confession of truth to your Father right now? Thank you, Lord. The Father says, again, I love you because 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 that is who I am. I love you all the way. All the time. There's nothing you can do to make me love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make me love you less, because I love you all the way, all the time, and I'm for you 24/7, because that is who I am, and I have made you amazing, wonderful, a delight to me, a blessing to me. So receive this truth in your soul about who you are. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are so good. We just want to respond to you, give you our whole hearts in worshiping you, Lord, now. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.